Howdy, partners. For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast. And be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Well, hello, everybody. We are coming to you, well, for us, live, but recorded for you guys from Disneyland up at the train station.
We have a spectacular view. I'm looking at the Mickey Mouse pumpkin, of course, Sleeping Beauty Castle in the back. It's a beautiful day. It is very hot, though. But
thank goodness it's overcast.
Yes, it is overcast, so that's helping. But we're just taking it easy today. We had a very jam-packed expo weekend,
yes.
So we're just going to have a leisurely, relaxing Disney Park Day. We're very excited.
Yeah, we didn't do what we had planned. We brought recording equipment with us all weekend, but we didn't have any time because of how packed and busy everything was. So we're doing it now in Disneyland, which will be fine. And this time, we're not on the Rivers of America. We're on Main Street, so we have some different background noise and everything, so that should be great. And then also, just so you guys know, we might be in the middle of talking, but the Disneyland band is going to come down Main Street and perform, so that could be something for us.
So speaking of the D23 Expo, we will have to fill you in on all the fun things. I'm telling you, we definitely did not get to see and do everything because it's just impossible, or you're like a superhero if you're able to do that. But we're going to start at the beginning, Friday. Our first panel, we did have reservations for Stage Pass to be able to go see the Disney 100 and Legends ceremony. A whole lineup of wonderful people. Some of the acceptance speeches that really stood out to me.
Yeah.
Number one was Josh Gad. I don't know. He was so funny. We learned
some fun things
about him.
You're wrong. It is now Disney legend Josh Gad.
Disney legend Josh Gad.
Who let us know that he was not hired to be a Jungle Cruise skipper when he was 18. So,
which, come on. He would have been an amazing Jungle Cruise skipper.
I mean, they should hire him now to be a Jungle Cruise skipper.
But, I mean, so fun. So fun packed. They did live stream this. So some of you that weren't able to be in the room where it happened, hopefully you were able to catch the live stream. Otherwise, we're hoping that they make this public because we haven't seen the replay or the recap for it. Hopefully soon it will be. But it was amazing. Another highlight to me was Idina Menzel singing When You Wish Upon a Star.
Oh, yes.
That was like, I've never seen her perform. I've been so, I love a lot of her stuff, of course, Wicked, Rent, all those big ones. But so that was just really cool to see her sing live. And it was totally like unscripted. It wasn't like a performance or anything like that.
I want to point out too, because I saw a lot of stuff online, and it's a big venue, right? 7,000 people fit in there. We were kind of off to the side. There was a lot of reports I saw later that evening or the next day online that, you know, Bob Chapek was booed when he came out. I will tell you, from where we were sitting, I did not hear any boos. So I think that people were just kind of like drumming that kind of up. We did have some weekly tiers that said there was some booing, but I don't think it was as bad as online kind of chalked it up to be.
Well, and again, it may have just depended on where you're sitting. But the section that we were in, which we were actually in the center section, everyone politely clapped.
Yes.
But anyways, tons of amazing people that got these awards that we got to hear all of their cool stories. That's the thing that I really like and appreciate about the Legend Ceremony. I'll be honest, when they announced who was getting the award, some of them I scratched my head at and I was like, what? Disney Legend? Why? I didn't get it. I knew who they were, but I didn't understand what work they had done that deserve such a lofty, you know, a lofty award. So that was really cool because they, before the legend gets their award, they do kind of like a backstory and kind of highlight all the different things that they had done. So I thought that was really, really cool, really informative. The other moment that we have to talk about was when Chadwick Boseman was presented with his award. His brother accepted it on his behalf. But it was very touching, very moving, very emotional. And he was the only legend that got a full standing ovation, which was just incredible to be a part of. Because like Tag said, it's a room full of like 7,000 people. So to have 7,000 people up on their feet and cheering for him was just magical.
The other thing, parks related, since we are a parks podcast, I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of things, a lot of stuff. It wasn't just a parks expo, of course. But Bob Chapek did tease the third attraction coming to Avengers Campus in Disney California Adventure. We'll talk more about that in a little bit because they kind of went into more detail, but they did kind of drop it to begin with.
Moving on to the expo floor is what we did after the Legends panel. Well, actually, I think after the Legends panel, we had lunch. We learned our lesson. For all of you future expo goers, make sure you
food
go
trucks.
Out and do the food trucks. They're still on the like convention ground, so you don't have to go out through security and then back in again. So worth it. The prices were a little steep, but the portions of the trucks we were at were very good size. In fact, some of them we should have shared because it was just too much food.
There was a burrito that we had there that was very, very good. Mm-hmm. We had some Weekly Tears that had some of the pizza from one of the other trucks that was also very good. We had the hamburgers.
There was a
were pretty
Greek
good.
Food truck that we stopped at.
Yeah.
All
there
sorts
was another
delicious
Mexican
things.
Place that was on the other side of the Expo Center mm-hmm. for Sunday. But yes, much better. It did seem like there was more food and a variety of food around the expo floor this time. I also want to say this year, and Teresa keeps saying this probably because we knew what we were doing better, but it seemed this year that it was a little more organized and there was a lot more Disney cast members there to help.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of the two things. It was better organized, plus we kind of had our training wheels had been taken off since we had already experienced Expo one time. Expo's really fun, but it's really difficult to go on as a first-timer because I just don't. We tried to help people kind of prepare mentally and all that kind of stuff, but it's just, you don't really understand it until you get in it because the expo floor, which is what we did the rest of the day on Friday, is just, there's so much. There are so many things to do. We spent a ton of time on the expo floor and
most
still,
of the rest of Friday.
Yeah, still didn't get to be able to do all the different fun things and experiences and all the different various booths. The other thing we did Friday, which was really cool, was we went and saw Walt's plane.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. So they did this really neat photo op where you waited in line. It was free. You scanned your badge, and then it kind of got emailed to you. But it was really neat because you could take a picture in front of it. The camera was up kind of high, so you got a really unique perspective. We did laugh. We saw a picture later on of Bob Gurr who had come. They had all these signs that cast members saying, don't touch the plane.
Don't touch the plane.
And there was this great picture of Bob Gurr touching the propeller. And we're like, well, I guess you don't tell Bob Gurr.
It looked so moving and so touching. Like, it just was, it's just a precious photo. I need to pause because this is the cool, pause talking about the expo because the coolest thing is happening in front of us now. Mickey and Minnie are walking towards us. The Dapper Dans are behind them. The Disneyland band is also there. Oh, it looks like we've got more characters, but then they've invited guests to join with them. So it's like this little mini guest parade, but it's very, very fun. Hopefully some of the audio is picking up for the band for you folks to enjoy as well.
And if it gets too loud in front of us here, we may have to pause recording just so if you hear this noise coming and then suddenly we're talking and it's gone, it's just because we want to make sure you could hear what we were talking about. But we will also leave I think we'll just have a clip of this in the show anyway. We'll just let kind of the noise go so you guys can feel like you're here at Disneyland, which I don't know if you want to be here. My watch says it's only 84, but it is very humid.
Very humid, yes. But, I mean, come on. How magical is this? Let's just leave it now, because it's just going to get louder. Look at Donald!
All right, so now that the band has gone away, which was amazing, it was right in front of us. So if you're ever here when they're doing any of this, you can sit on the benches in front of the train station. They do block off the entrance up to the top, so you're kind of stuck there. You can go down the side stairs, and you don't see the front of the show.
So it was really cool to be that close to them. It was a little hard to hear the Dapper Dans because I think their speakers were pointing, their audio was going forward towards the castle when we were behind. But other than that, super cool. The best part, though, was as the band was coming up, we're saying hi to everyone as they're coming up, and you could actually hear them say hi back to you. That's mm-hmm. the first time I've heard that, because usually you just see them from afar and can just see their mouth moving and kind of have to lip read, but very fun. But back to the expo. So
Friday
afternoon, I can't even try and describe. I could sit here with the map and try and count, but there's so many things on the expo floor. Like, again, you think that you've seen it all, and then, oh, nope, there's another section. Oh, nope, there's another section. Even when you're trying to go back to find something, you're like, is it this section, that section? It's just, it's kind of like a maze.
And it all kind of looks the same after a while,
it's
and
like
so
a maze,
finding stuff is hard.
A maze of Disney. So it's a very distracting, very overstimulating, just very intense. Amazing, but just so much. Because Tag was explaining this, because not only do you have the booths, but what else do you have that's...
Yeah, so
exciting.
You've got all the booths that are obviously going to be distracting because they're meant to be eye-catching and mm-hmm. try to get your attention to come see it. But then there's all the areas that they have for standby lines for things. But then also, you got to remember that the main walkways, there are people there in costume, there are guests there, there are Imagineers walking around, there's Disney executives walking around. So, just famous people that you're going to see. And so even the walkways are attractions in and of themselves.
Yeah. Oh.
So just walking around, not even looking at anything or for anyone in particular, you're going to run into all these different people. So basically, if you are easily distracted, which we don't know anybody who's like
never.
It is very overwhelming, and you think you're going from point A to point B, but you end up hitting C through Z before you get to B.
Yeah. Well, and then the other hard thing, too, is because there's so much expo stuff, I think we've now learned our lesson. Because there's a few things that we kept saying, oh, we'll just come back to, oh, we'll come back. Oh, yeah, we got to remember. You got to do it when it's there. When you're in front of, same thing with purchasing things. If you want to purchase, get it at that moment, because some of these shops are, you had to get into virtual queues to get it. Somehow it's more intense than just at being at Disneyland. Right. And it's not as easy to kind of
Disneyland will be here for multiple days, where the expo is only 3 days.
Yeah.
So some of the highlights on the expo floor, obviously the Disney Parks Imagineering Pavilion was really cool. They had this cool entry tunnel that was really neat that had castles and everything from all the different parks around the world. There was some puppets from the
Zootopia
land that they're opening over in Tokyo or Hong Kong, one of those two. There was, of course, stuff that we had seen even before the expo. There was a model of the new Tiana's Bayou Adventure. There was a model of Tomorrowland.
Toontown. You were wishing for a Tomorrowland. You're just going to try and,
subconscious willing it to happen.
Yeah, you're going to put it out in the universe and hope for it to happen. But the best part, and I don't think people realize this, the best part of the Dreams Pavilion or the Parks Pavilion is that the people working it are Disney Imagineers that are involved in whatever it is that they're standing next to. So they're a wonderful resource. So we spend a lot of time at the model that will be Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And there was a couple of little detail things that I noticed that I was trying to get them to give me more information on, because I'm just so excited.
They're very good at avoiding.
They're very good. They must have gone through some sort of interview process before they were allowed to be on the expo floor to be like, you can't give any of this away, because everybody's just dying to know these things. But the one thing that we were concerned, confused with the Tiana's Bayou Adventure is the tree is no longer atop the mountain.
Now, from the concept art, there was supposed to be a tree with Mama Odie's boat, but that is not a part of the model.
So the Imagineer that I spoke with basically said he did a very nice job of not telling me the details of why it's not there, but basically said, oh, yeah, when he basically goes through many iterations between, you know, all the different concept arts, so then what it ends up being. He's like, this, and all he said to me was, this is the current model of what it will look like. So, who knows? Maybe it will change umpteen more times before. But I thought that was really fun. The other thing that I noticed that I'm very excited about, I will try and post a picture of this. I tried to, zoom in on it. The drop tunnel. I am
the inside
fascinated
portion.
By the climb before the big drop. If you peek into the concept model of that tunnel, there are these bright, colorful lights. At first, I was getting Shadow Man vibes, and I thought that it was something to do with the Shadow Man. But upon seeing it in person and being able to have a closer look, it looks like the colorful light bottles that Mama Odie kind of has in her tree. So I'm very, I don't know. Both of those songs are very good. Dig a Little Deeper. And then, you know, I love the scene, the visuals for the song Dig a Little Deeper. I love the visuals for Friends on the Other Side. I don't believe either of those songs will actually be in the attraction, since this is a continuation of the story. But the visuals in those scenes, I just love. So to be able to see that, and be immersed in that, either one, I'd be happy. Yeah. I do think it's the Mama Odie one, though. Yeah. I think it's the light bottles. I'm very excited.
The Toontown model was cool because it kind of gave, you know, we had some concept art. That's really all we had. It was kind of very vague in a lot of ways. So it's nice to see kind of how the road's going to be shaped. There's going to be a interactive fountain that's going to be part of this. What is now Gadget's Go Coaster will be Chip and Dale's Gadget Coaster.
Yes, that
so
was
a figured that out.
They didn't actually announce that, but if you looked at the model real close to the coaster sign, it now says Chip and Dale's Coaster.
Gadget Coaster, yeah.
Yeah, so no. It's Gadget's Go Coaster. It was Gadget's Go Coaster.
No, but
so
the sign says Chip and Dale's Gadget Coaster, not Gadget's Coaster.
Got it.
And so, and then there was this, it was the real statue, wasn't it, that they're going to put in Epcot?
The actual statue.
Bronze Walt statue.
I'm so kicking myself because the first time, we went into the Parks Pavilion twice because, let's face it. Actually, I'm surprised.
I went in it 3 times.
I only went in it twice because I could have lived in there. But I do kick myself that we didn't get a photo with that statue.
Sure.
Just because
everybody was trying to get a photo with it.
Yeah, it was a very popular photo spot, but the art behind it was beautiful. The statue itself was gorgeous. By the way, we're only halfway through this pavilion, so we'll try and hurry it up a little bit for you all. There was a
section. We are a parks podcast, so.
I know, but we're also only on day one still.
Oh, we'll fly through the rest, though, I feel like.
So the rest of the parks pavilion was, this was cool. They had the different phases of what is now the Stuntronic. So they have the first, which was the brick, and then they have the stick one, and then a couple of humanoid versions, and then what the final one ended up being.
And
that
Teresa
was
said,
really cool.
They had an Imagineer there who worked on it, And I wanted to ask him a couple questions that have been bugging me forever. And so I asked him, I said, how much magic can you spoil? Which, spoiler, magic spoiler for all you guys, if you don't want to hear anything, skip ahead a minute or so. But I asked him,
can we? Yeah, you got to tell him his reaction.
So I said, can you spoil stuff? And he said, well, you can see it's a robot.
He's like,
right,
well,
here.
I'm standing in front of the robot. Yeah. So what's your question?
So the two things I asked him about was the one that's not as exciting. I said, I talked about how impressive it was that they thought about it failing and they were able to do the breakaway stuff. And he said that he thought it was funny because there was that fake video that had gone online of it hitting it. And he's like, I know how those breakaway, I could tell it was fake.
Yeah.
And so when the real one came out, he's like, yep, that's how it was designed to do it, because sometimes stuff happens. But the fun question was, I said, I've wanted to know. It's bothered me since the beginning. I said, so how automated is this? When Spider-Man jumps from building to building, is there a conveyor belt that brings him to reset him? Is there some other type of system that does it? And he looked at me and he said, well, cast members go up there and they basically put him in the equivalent of a rolling office chair and they roll him over to the other area. So now I have this vision of this office chair with this stunt-tronic Spider-Man in it being rolled kind of like Weekend at Bernie's, like, you know, just rolling back and forth, or Onward
Weekend
with the dad.
Bernie's.
Yeah. So I just thought that was really, really funny. There was also an interactive harmonious thing that was kind of neat. And then there was some Disney Cruise Line area, but that was basically the pavilion. Really fun. What were some other things on the show floor that you liked or thought was cool?
There were so many cool things. There was all sorts of different giveaways that we got. Pins. Tons of pins. Fun pins.
Pin sets?
Pin sets even, yes. There was a really fun, I don't know what it was called. There was another big pavilion that was very interactive, though, and it had, like, only murders in the building, and it had Grey's Anatomy.
It was like their streaming TV pavilion, because it had ABC Family and Hulu. And
it was a lot of fun stuff. So Tag is a fan of Only Murders in the Building, so of course we had to go do that. But it was, they had a guy that kind of directed you to do something. You had no idea what, why, or how you were doing this, and then you did it. And then they gave you this video of you, and this one, since it was murders in the building, it looked like we were in an apartment building and someone was peeking in. He was having me try to murder Tag. He called that one. He was very smart. But he had me, like, what was I, choking you?
What,
and then,
smart, saying that you were going to kill me?
Yeah. I just think it was funny that he had it that. Anyways, so he's like, just pretend like you're choking him, and then we're going to pretend that someone just, like, peeked in and saw you, and so you're kind of like, ha, 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 just kidding, you know, that kind of a thing. So that was really fun to be a part of, to kind of.
I mean,
it was so different. There was American Horror Story. There's like mini pavilions inside this pavilion,
which was cool.
Other cool things that we got to do is we got to go to the Mickey's of Glendale store, which, as some of you know, is like the Imagineering and cast member kind of only
store.
Spent
a lot of money there.
So that's not something that us normal people are able to get to experience very often. Lots of cool stuff that I've never seen before and never will see again. But they had all these really cool, there's a cool merch line that was dedicated to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway with all sorts of different prints and art that we haven't seen before. There was a Muppets section.
Muppet Haunted Mansion and Muppets.
And Muppets. And then, of course, the part that we spent all of the money at is the Imagineering section. And the Imagineers are celebrating 70 years, so we have a really fun 70 years of Imagineering logo that was on T-shirts and hats.
Yeah, the only disappointing thing was that was the only logo on, like, everything.
Yeah.
They didn't have any plain stuff, but it's still a cool logo. I enjoyed it.
Next time.
So for me, you know, I don't want to be critical really about a lot of things. I want to pick like highlights. But one thing that we were really excited about that kind of underwhelmed us was the Archives Pavilion this time.
Yeah.
Last time they had so much in there that this time they had less, so it felt kind of underwhelming. But they crammed so much in there last time.
But the Archives also was helping with, they had different things that were also like exhibits that were with Walt's plane.
Sure.
So I think that the Archives had multiple focus points
this
year instead of just their one big footprint.
Yeah.
But it was still a lot of fun and interesting stuff. We saw stuff that was taken out of the Haunted Mansion. So we saw one of the original brides, some of the paintings, that kind of cool stuff. We saw Mary Poppins, like
the original horses from the movie,
the carousel horses, but also her white dress, her classic iconic white dress. So there were some really cool things
there.
But there was interactive parts of that booth which hadn't been there before, so there was photo ops and that sort of stuff in there, which of course if you have photo ops and like kind of get into the scene type stuff, sure, you're not going to have enough space. Oh, and droids. There was a droid section at the end that was really fun,
That was
too.
Cool. The other thing that was kind of hit or miss with people, we talked to different people, and some people really liked it and some people didn't. I feel like you either really liked it or didn't, was the Expo Marketplace, which was this huge store that took up a whole section.
I think we didn't like it because our expectation was that Expo branded merch was going to be in this pavilion, and there was no Expo branded merch in this specific marketplace. It was at a different marketplace. So I think
on the second floor,
because of thinking it was going to be one thing and then going in and having it being something totally different, that's what threw me. But there was cool stuff in there. It was like an Emporium or a World of Disney type vibe. You had all sorts of different merch from all sorts of different things, but it's all stuff I've never seen before, and I don't know if it's stuff that we'll see again. I have to give a shout out though to Griffin, who came to our meetup, because he was very excited when I saw him. I asked him what one of his favorite things from Expo was, or things that he got to do, and he was so excited. They had these gold spider bots, and they were in that marketplace, and he just thought it was so cool. And so Griffin, I'm giving you a shout out. We had to talk about it on the podcast, so thank you for coming to our meetup, of course. It was very nice to meet you and your dad, but had to give you a shout out there.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's anything else. Oh, now we've got the Dapper Dans behind us, so you can be serenaded by that while we talk. So that was pretty much for day one.
Yeah.
So afterwards, we went to Downtown Disney, had some dinner, kind of checked out a couple stores, and that was our night. So Saturday.
So Saturday was kind of a different focus for us. We had a lot of different panels that we were excited about that were at the archive stage. So our first panel that we did at the archive stage was a peek behind the curtain, Imagineering special effects. I was geeking out so hard, and I really wanted to get a picture with him, and I feel really bad that I do not remember his name at this moment. He's an Imagineer. We've seen him present on stuff before, but they do a lot of illusioneering, so that's kind of the special effects.
Like
so
Yale Gracie.
Like, yes, exactly. So think Haunted Mansion and all the different fun special effects of the Haunted Mansion, that sort of stuff. So, but he was one of the people that helped bring the Hatbox Ghost to Disneyland, so I really wanted to meet him and say thank you, get a photo with him maybe, but unfortunately, we just got to see him present on stage. I just have to take a moment. We had so many like close encounters with people, but did not get a single photo with any of these people. We somehow ran into Tony Baxter twice.
Yep.
Kevin Rafferty.
Yep.
Who else did we see?
Bob Gurr again.
Bob Gurr, of course.
I saw Garner Holt. Scott Trowbridge with his, I assume, wife walking around because they were holding hands. Yeah, so lots of different people.
And these were people we saw on the expo floor. These are not people we like sat and watched the panel with. So
correct.
It was amazing to kind of be that, like, doing the floor or sitting in a panel with some of these folks. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I had to just say that.
What was the second panel we did?
The second panel that we did, the illusioneering panel, was really interesting because they talked about all sorts of different projects that they talked about Yale Gracie and kind of like where it all began. And then they also talked about projects that they have been able to work on, the Hatbox Ghost, of course, being one of them.
Rise of Resistance, like
and
laser
then
bolts
the
and everything.
The really cool thing, do you want to tell them about the Space 220
stuff
that they did?
Teresa could not get over the fact. I'm sorry,
can we pause? Do we hear what is happening right now?
Well, there we go. It's Grim Gritty Ghost. So Teresa was geeking out because during this thing, they talked about how they developed a new paint. And she turns to me and she goes, how do you develop a new paint? So what it is they for Space 220, which for those of you who don't know is in Epcot, basically it's a restaurant that it looks like you're eating above in space, above Epcot. And what they found was with projections, the space was not black enough. It was providing too much light. So they developed this paint that they would paint, and you could use a black light laser. And when you would point it on this black paint, the black light would turn a bright, bright white like a star in the sky. Mm-hmm. And that's how they did it. And I thought that was so amazing.
Amazing.
Teresa said, develops a new paint?
Who invents paint? It was so cool. So, so cool. The next panel that we did at the Walt Disney Archive stage was the treasures from the Marty Sklar collection. And that was amazing.
Fascinating.
I don't know if he understood what he was doing, but Marty basically saved everything. So they kind of were being lighthearted about it. It was Bob Weiss from Walt Disney Imagineering, but then it was also Marty's widow and Marty's daughter.
Yeah.
Leslie Iwerks was
who
the
did
one
the Imagineering
that,
story.
She was the one that kind of was the moderator for this panel. But it was just incredible. It was kind of this running joke, but they have basically a thousand boxes that they found and uncovered. And it's all these things that Marty saved and collected over the years that have some connection, something to do with his career in Imagineering. So there's name, there's, you know, personal effects like name tags, that sort of thing. But he also saved all sorts of sketches and originals of stuff. And these are things that people just would like, oh, that's not good. That's just the first draft, so we're going to toss it because we've got second and third drafts. Right? But he saved all of these things. And just incredible. He saved notes from Walt Disney and all, just all sorts of stuff. So they're kind of going through and categorizing and cataloging this all. But it did sound like that the Sklar family is donating this to the archives. They've been calling it the Marty Sklar Archives. I don't know if that's what the official name is. I feel like it should be.
But are they donating it to the archives? Because I thought they said that he had sent so much stuff to the archives or whatever.
They
that
pulled
they were
all
like,
of it, though. So how this started was Bob Weiss got a call that we've got all these boxes of Marty's in this whatever. You need to come get them. And he's like, Bob, why do you have all these boxes of Marty's? Apparently, there's some division within Disney that you could send stuff to, record keeping kind of thing. And they told Marty, you're not allowed to send any more boxes here. And then, as they're now uncovering, like, they've now figured this all out, he was saving stuff at home, too. And his wife said, you cannot save any more stuff here. We don't have any more room. So he was then, like, stashing it in different parts and different areas
storage
of Imagineering
lockers
and such. So it's been taking a lot of time, but they think they've got about 1,000 boxes worth of stuff. And it's just...
Well,
invaluable.
What's funny is,
it's totally invaluable. This, I would go to exhibits. I would watch movies. I mean, the stuff he saved is just amazing.
There's stuff in there from other Imagineers that was given to him to like go through and catalog, and so he's just of just like people's notes or miscellaneous pieces.
It was somebody's sketches.
Yeah,
and he's like, it was like John Hench scraps or something like that was what he labeled the box. I mean, it was a very fun, lighthearted, but how he kind of, there was a lot of Marty in the panel, and it was just really incredible that the family's willing to share this, I mean, invaluable collection with all of us.
It's so amazing that Marty thought enough. I mean, it sounded like from his wife that he was kind of a pack rat and hoarder about it. But in a situation like this, it's good that you have these people to keep these things because there are parts of the Disney company and Imagineering history that would have been lost. And there's a lot of progress that you can see. He's made notes on things and whatever that you can see how things like kind of progressed through and got to their final stage. So that stuff's really exciting.
Well, and Bob was kind of saying that he felt that Marty had the foresight that these things are going to be important and they need to be saved too. So incredible. So we're very excited. This is just kind of, they were teasing stuff. So we don't know what they're going to do with this. I thought that they were going to tell us that there was going to be like a traveling exhibit or a movie or something. They're going to do something, but right now they're just in the stages of kind of going through and organizing and just kind of getting a pulse on what they have. Because the other thing too, some of the boxes were organized as in like the John Hench scraps. Other boxes were just kind of this, that, and everything. So maybe there's name tags. Maybe there's original Imagineering sketches of things. Maybe there's letters. Maybe there's invoices, all that stuff, you know, kind of all over the place.
Yeah. So that was a great panel. I didn't expect all of that stuff. They had some letters and stuff. They showed off a wonderful letter that Marty Sklar went out to Disney World and at the property out there, and he wrote a letter to Walt sitting on the hood of his car. And even apparently Marty was a big editor. He'd go through and make different revisions and stuff. And he had this letter and he even did revisions to it. And I did get a picture of it because I wanted to read what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was this lovely letter to like how amazing Walt Disney World is going to be. And, he's sure that Walt can see it or whatever. But like, how awesome is that?
Well,
that's such a personal thing.
The thing, too, is nobody knew this letter existed.
Yeah.
Marty's wife didn't even know about this letter.
Well, Walt.
Yep, it was a very personal thing, but he kept it. So, yeah, very cool, very touching.
So we spent a little bit more time again. We went out and had lunch. We spent some time again on the show floor trying to see some things. And then, just by happenstance, we got in this line to go see... What was the first thing we were in line to go see?
Encanto.
Encanto, the music of Encanto. And I was like, oh... They had some of the people from Encanto at one of the other things at the Legends Ceremony.
That was another highlight of the Legends Ceremony. They concluded it with the cast of Encanto coming out, and they sang live for us, "We Don't Talk About Bruno."
Yeah.
Oh, it was so cool.
I was like, oh, we'll go see the cast again. We'll get some of that cool stuff. It'll be really exciting. But then one of our weekly tiers said that they had an extra thing they weren't going to go to for this. It had some obnoxious High School Musical, the musical, the series length
like
thing.
The extravaganza was, yeah, that's the only part
so,
I remember.
But then I looked in the app and they had all the famous people that were going to be there. And I'm like, Teresa, there's a lot of people. We should go to that. So we went over. It was in the big hall D23. And we went in. And I tell you, I feel like for me, this was one of the highlights. And one of the reasons Teresa was telling me that she didn't think it was quite as much of a highlight for her was she didn't know a lot of the shows and the people. And so, but they opened with the entire cast of High School Musical, the musical, the series performing.
Not the entire cast, but
most of the cast.
A good
really amazing.
The cast.
So they had them up there, and then they went through and they announced a bunch of stuff for Disney Channel and Disney Junior and Disney Plus stuff, just all of this stuff, and they had different people come out. They had the main actors from the new Percy Jackson movie that's coming out, and he came out. And that kid was so sweet. I think it was his first like big anything.
He
was very sincere, thanking everybody for being exciting, and he was like, I'm going to do the best I can to make this the best story for everybody or whatever, because the kid's like 12 or something. But they just had all these people come out, and it was just so amazing, and it was so entertaining. Tim Allen, which we didn't even think was going to be there.
So exciting. He came out because they were talking about the new Santa Claus. I don't know. It's not a full series. It's just like, I think it's just a
mini event or whatever. Yeah. Six episodes
is what it is.
Six chapters, he was calling it.
That was really cool. The other person that I was very excited about, and I'm a terrible person because I don't remember, I'm very bad at remembering names of people in general, but yes, famous people. But this guy came out and I'm like, I know this voice. I know this voice. And you're like, he was as a kid, he was the kid from Indiana Jones. He was like, Dr. Jones, Dr. Jones. And I was like, oh, that's Data from the Goonies. And so I just was all excited. So I feel like I need to watch that show, which
Michelle Yeoh was there too.
Person, and I don't remember what the name of that show is. I want to say I don't remember. But I need to watch that show too. New show coming to Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Just endlessly excited that we got to see the guy that was Data from the Goonies. I loved the Goonies growing up. That was one of my favorite movies. So that was a like fun, not expecting to have that happen moment.
Yeah, and it was funny because we didn't even think to go to the show. And for me, it was one of the highlights of the weekend. After that, we went and got some food and went to our meetup, which we met.
One last thing I want to say about the Disney branded panel.
Yeah.
John Stamos came out on stage.
Yes, I forgot about that.
And he was supposed to be, and he kind of said this, I'm supposed to be up here promoting the shows that I'm on, but I just would rather, I'm a huge fan, went on like this whole, like, if you would have told
Disney
my
fan,
like 12-year-old self that was standing in line at the Matterhorn thinking he was cool, trying to pick up girls, that just you wait, you're one of these days, you know, you're going to have the Disneyland D in your backyard, you're going to this, you're going to that, just super, super fan. But anyways, he took a time to like nerd out with all of us. But the thing that just was so amazing and so touching to me was he also took time to share some stories, some memories of Bob Saget with us. And he actually had two images that he shared with everyone, which was the last time that he and Bob were able to come and enjoy Disneyland together.
It was sweet.
And it was something that he didn't have to share those memories with us. And he said that that was now one of his favorite Disney memories. And now this was also a favorite Disney memory
that he got to share with all of us.
But it was just so touching and so sincere. One of the photos, though, was them. I think it was on Alice. And then the other one was funny. They were in, like, the lobby of the Grand California, and they all had different Disney onesies on. So the Disney onesie one kind of caught me off guard, because when do you see John Stamos, Bob Saget with Disney onesies just, like, being all fun and nerdy and geeky, you know? It was just cool, just so cool.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that he shared that, because that was kind of a nice moment.
Oh, it's such a nice moment.
Yeah. So, like I said, we went in and got some food from the Tongariro Terrace, where, funny enough, we ended up seeing John Stamos there trying to order food, but we didn't bother him.
I feel like this is my story, because nobody would have known about this. We were having our wonderful hangout. My water bottle needed to be filled, so I walked back up to Tongariro Terrace, and their Coke Zero machine was actually broken, so I walked over to one of the cast members and I said, I'm sorry to bother you, but I just need to refill my water. Does the machine still do water? She's like, oh, yeah, sure. So she walked me over. There was nobody over there. The only person that was over there was this gentleman with a stroller that looked to be waiting for his food, and so I didn't think anything of it. And then all of a sudden, I'm standing there filling my water bottle, and I look over, and I'm like, oh, my God, I think that's John Stamos. course, I'm by myself, so I'm having the internal monologue here. And he kind of saw me look at him and kind of looked down like, does she know, like, is this going to be a thing? So I could tell he was, you know, had a long day. We had just seen him on the panel. He was there with one of his kids. He had a hat on, so he's trying to, like, not be very obvious. So
head down.
I decided I wasn't going to bother him. I do regret, because I wish I would have, not very sly, though. I wish I could have slyly go over there and thanked him for sharing his memories with Bob with all of us. Because that was just, like I said, to me, that was the highlight of that panel. That panel had nothing to do with what John did on the stage, but, like, that was the highlight for me for that panel.
Yeah. Yeah, I ended up going over and seeing it with some water later.
So then I told a couple people at the expo or at the meetup that I thought I had just saw him, because it was also this. I don't pick out famous people for some reason.
We're very bad at that.
I have this like weird like I pick YouTubers out, which I don't. I watch some YouTube, but not enough that I should be able to spot them like I do.
She has a radar for this.
It's weird. It's very weird. So that's literally this is the first time I've seen a famous person like out and about. And, like, noticed. So I was pretty proud of myself for that. So do I wish I would have gotten a selfie with John Stamos? 100%. Do I wish that I would have thanked him for what he did for us on that panel? 1,000%. But I also am very happy that... So he... I think he realized that I put two and two together, knew who he was. As I walked past, you know, made eye contact with him and smiled. And he smiled and nodded back at me. So that is my wonderful memory. So I did tell a couple of people. So they were able to go see him. Thankfully, we all kind of gave him his space, though. Because, right, he's just a person like us. He had a long expo day, too. So
he's there with his kid.
He was there with, one of his kids. So he was just getting his food and heading up back to his room, I'm sure, to relax for the evening. We should have told him to listen to the podcast.
Yeah. The meetup was really great. We got to meet some people we hadn't met before.
Oh, incredible meetup.
We said it was between 8 to 10 because we expected to go back and go to sleep for the next morning. We didn't end up getting done until closer to midnight, and we ended up not getting back to the hotel until closer to like 1. So
it
was a very, very long day.
We were just having so much fun with all of you. So thank you to everyone that was able to stop by, even if it was just for like 5 minutes, just to come say hi, maybe grab a quick picture. Get a button and go. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts to everyone that was able to come to the meetup.
So Sunday we got up, we walked back to the expo, of course the parks panel. So this is where you get all of our opinions on the parks panel stuff. So we basically got there, we got seated, we got a pretty decent seat. They were having some really cool videos and stuff playing as everybody was kind of filtering in, which was pretty nice. And then it started. Of course, one thing I want to point out is Josh Damaro, of course, is very charismatic,
yes.
Everything on stage.
Yes.
You could tell he really loves the parks and loves the audience,
yes.
And loves all of us fans. He mentioned that a bunch of times. Of course, as they went through, they talked about, you know, being a hard year with pandemic, and he was so glad that we were all back together and everything, and it was wonderful. For some reason, they shared this 10-minute long video that was really nice, but I don't know why they needed to spend that 10 minutes there.
As bad as the one that they shared for the Legends
That's
ceremony
true.
For the Disney 100. That
yeah.
one was a little confusing to me.
But So we got there, and like I said, they started going through some announcements. They started with Disneyland, which was great because I feel like a lot of times Disneyland is left for later. But we went through, and I'll tell you, the vibe in the space was very electric. People were very excited. People were cheering. Of all the panels we went to, other than the Disney branded event, this seemed like the one that people were like the most excited for. Like everything, there were lots of clapping, cheering.
Mind you, we were not in the Marvel/Lucasfilm
That is true.
Films
that
panel,
is true. Of the ones we did.
That one sounded like it was like
probably.
Electric. As
probably.
Well.
But, so they went through, they talked about Tiana's Bayou Adventure. They announced that that's going to open up by the end of 2024. They announced that, which everybody was very excited to kind of hear about. We had already seen the model and everything. They announced that, of course, we had seen rumors, but in spring of 2023... January 2023, that Magic Happens is coming back, which is wonderful because it only played for like 2 weeks before the pandemic.
Poor Magic Happens.
So that's wonderful. That's coming back. The reason they're not starting it now is because they're going to have the Christmas Fantasy and everything, so they'll start it after the holiday season. They announced...
a couple new characters that will be coming to Batu and over to Avengers Campus. Coming to Batu, we had an announcement that this character was coming, but we got to see these characters. So Mando and Grogu are both going to be
together
in Batu. That looked amazing.
It did.
The one that was a brand new announcement that we didn't know about, and I got all excited because they were kind of teasing and leading up to it. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's all going to like started smacking Tag, because you know that's what I do when I get excited.
Oh, yes.
And can't be loud. I just start hitting Tag on the shoulder. And he's like, what? I said, this is that 3D printed giant oversized stuff that we saw in the Dreams panel. It's the Hulk. And then, of course, it was. We're going to have the Hulk.
And it looks great.
Next week. They said the Hulk will be in Avengers Campus next week.
For a limited time.
For a limited time.
But looked amazing. Yeah. Moved great.
Very smooth.
Yeah. Like, if you are here, it's going to be amazing.
And larger than life.
Larger than life.
So cool.
Jon Favreau came out for Mando, which was great.
Yes, he did. And I think they said Mando was coming in November.
Yes, November.
2024. I should be looking at my notes, so I do apologize to everyone. But I'm pretty sure November of 20... I think November of this year.
This year, yep. So that'll be exciting because we've already had Boba Fett came and Fennec Shand came, and so now we're going to get Mando himself. And, of course, you know, the next season of Mando will come out next year, so that's a great time for all of that. So and looked great. I'm excited to see Grogu. And Grogu moves and does all the stuff.
He looks so cute.
Josh Trubaro was very excited about all of this.
Well, and apparently they had been working on this for a very long time because
they had plans before the pandemic.
Yeah, that's what Jon Favreau was explaining that to us. I didn't know that it had been in the works for that long, and I guess it had been in the works longer than they normally have these things in the works. So you know that they spent a great deal of time and tons of care in making sure that these are going to be the best experiences, the best versions possible.
Now I'm
going
to get this stuff out of order, but basically they also announced the new fireworks show coming to Disneyland, which is called...
Oh yeah, that was the end.
Called, I don't care what order
Wondrous.
It is. Wondrous. They previewed a song for us. It is going to be for the 100th anniversary. There is of the Walt Disney Company. There's also a new World of Color show called One that is also going to do that. I'm very excited for that because I like World of Color, but I'm ready for a refresh. I think that'll be really exciting. People seem to be very excited about all of that. Yeah, so remember the 50th and the... So the 50th, we had gold stuff everywhere. The 60th, we have diamonds everywhere. For the 100th anniversary of the Disney Company, there's going to be platinum stuff all throughout the park. So... Really, really cool. Disney World.
The hub of the celebration is all going to be here at Disneyland. Which so that was really exciting.
Oh, yeah, because this is what started kind of it all. So they, and it's nice to see Disneyland recognized for that because for the longest time, especially when I was a kid, I felt like Disney World was kind of the crown jewel in the park's crown for the company. And I feel like they're really acknowledging that Disneyland's where everything started. So very excited about that. Well, the only thing I'll say about the other stuff, because there was a lot of other stuff.
The one thing that super stood out to me is that they announced that Figment will be coming back as a character meet and greet in Epcot. So that was really exciting. We thought that they were going to tell us that that attraction was going to get a refresh. So we were all excited and building, exciting. And then it was Figment. But what were some of the other things?
Oh, yeah. So just quickly, Josh finished with Disneyland. We went around all the other parks around the world. They talked about all of the Arendelle Frozen areas that are coming to some other parks, some Zootopia areas that were coming. They showed off some animatronics and stuff from that, which look
cool.
Amazing, by the way.
Really good.
They showed some of the special effects they're going to have in these lands that make it look really interactive and amazing. They talked about some stuff at Disney World being behind Big Thunder. The only thing that was a little strange was they really emphasized that none of these things were for sure coming. It was just kind of a lot of blue sky. They were thinking about all of these things.
Yeah, it was a lot of just like we're elevator pitching and what if? So they showed us things that may or may not happen. So that was a little confusing. But the high point of... You know, because this whole thing, we're feeling the energy build, the excitement build, and all this stuff. And Josh had said he did the Disneyland section first. He did not talk about the platinum stuff. Tag said all of the Disneyland stuff now. But so in the
order
stream of events, they stopped at the characters and that kind of stuff. And they said, we'll get back to Disneyland later. So, of course, we're on the edge of our seats we'll get back to Disneyland. There's going to be the main one big announcement is going to be Disneyland focused. So we were all excited. Well, it ended up being all of the 100 anniversary stuff and that it's going to be headquartered and hubbed here. So I'm just going to say this. The energy, the excitement, being in the room, being in the moment, it was very, very fun, very exciting, all that kind of stuff. We're all on, riding this high, and then all of a sudden it ends because it's just building, and we didn't feel like we had that pinnacle of a peak. Tag was getting very excited, reading the teleprompter because he's waiting for the Tomorrowland announcement.
Well,
waiting.
And he kept weaving in Tomorrowland stuff.
He
said it's going to be a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. It's a boundless future.
Yeah,
there's all these things that sounded very tomorrow-facing. Yeah. And I was like, he's teasing us the whole time.
He's coming, he's just weaving it in.
And then he was like, see you later, guys.
So we joked. For those of you that have seen the movie Chicago and are familiar with the sound in this term, they razzle-dazzled us. we were so excited and like, ooh, look over here, look over here. But coming out of that panel and kind of reprocessing it, we realized there was not very much new stuff that they actually announced to us. We knew Mando was coming, but we got to see Mando. Magic happens. Very excited that that's coming back, but it's not announcing a new parade. Yep. It's just announcing that a parade is returning. Same thing with some of the Walt Disney World news. Their fireworks show is getting replaced, and they're getting Happily Ever After is coming back. So it was a lot of stuff that we already kind of knew about. And the big like hoopla fanfare, I would say, too, was all about Tiana's Bayou Adventure, which, I mean, rightfully so. But we know that Tiana's Bayou Adventure is coming. They didn't show us anything in there that we didn't already know about or things that we hadn't already seen in the Dreams Pavilion. So it was just a little disappointing in the fact that it wasn't a lot of new information for those of us that have a really, like, we're following all of these different things. So that was, that. I will say that was disappointing. We were expecting more.
Even one, the low-hanging fruit they didn't do.
That's where I was going to go, is all the things that should have been kind of gimmies, especially with Disneyland specifically, they didn't go for. I thought for sure we would get a date on when Magic Bands were coming to Disneyland.
An Imagineering person did say by the end of the year, so that's only 3 months left.
Oh, and they announced that this year that they were coming at Destination D, which was back, I think, last November. So this entire year, we knew that they were coming this year, but we still haven't gotten a date. So I thought for sure that they were going to at least give us a date. There's, like Tag said, there's 3 months left. It's not like it's that big of a crazy, exciting announcement. You know, it's not like, I don't know. It didn't seem like that was a thing that they could say and then have to take back. And then a couple other things that were, like the Tarzan's treehouse. We thought that we were going to get some sort of something about Tarzan's tree. Of course, we were, everyone, I'm sure. And even we heard Walt Disney World people saying the same thing. They were hoping for a Tomorrowland refresh on their park in Magic Kingdom as well. So we, both coasts, were hoping for Tomorrowland news for their park. So we kind of were wondering if there was going to be a joint Tomorrowland announcement, but nothing about Tomorrowland.
And the other thing, too, that I just want to point out is they razzle-dazzled us. And I think what they did is, because I've complained about this on our show so many times, I think what they did is they said, you know, these things may or may not come. You know, people are saying there's a looming economic recession coming. We don't know if that's going to happen or not. It might not. You know, I don't know. I'm not a financial person or an economics person. But I think they're hedging their bets. I think they have these things planned, but they don't want to commit to anything because they don't want to disappoint people. Because we've complained, I've complained at least, about that they announced all this stuff last expo and that they've had to cancel certain aspects of that. So it's just kind of unfortunate.
The Avengers e-ticket was the other thing that they talked about with Disneyland. And they had announced that they had announced Avengers Campus at 2019's Expo. They announced kind of what the concept for the big e-ticket was going to be. And it has changed slightly. It's going to be themed more towards like multiverse stuff. Yep. So they kind of showed concept art of what characters you're going to encounter and all that stuff. We did get a really cool print of the concept art, which also gave us a peek at what the ride vehicle might look like for this attraction.
So I get to stop you for once. We have a cavalcade coming down the street as we're finishing
recording.
Aren't
you proud of me? I actually saw it and I kept myself focused.
You were good. You were good. I love this.
Oh, this is the Halloween cavalcade. We might have to pause because this looks adorable.
And there he is announcing it.
Yeah, we might need to pause because I might need to take pictures of this.
All right. All right, we're back. The cavalcade did not go in front of us, but kind of cut through town square. So just if you do see the Halloween cavalcade,
it does not go the parade
route. It just kind of turns and goes out the parade gate.
Yeah, beyond Main Street for that. So overall, the parks panel, while it was fun and exciting to be in the room just because of the energy that was going on in there, looking back on it, we didn't get any of the announcements we were hoping or predicting to have been getting, even
Tomorrowland.
Like Tag said, the kind of like the gimmies. But it was still fun. They gave us all sorts of, I don't even remember what all we got. We got artwork for the e-ticket coming to Avengers Campus.
Artwork for the bronze statue going to,
one of the overseas resorts.
Overseas resorts, because they've got this wonderful bronze Walt and Mickey that's sitting on a bench that looks really amazing.
It reminds me a lot of the Walt Disney World statue of Roy with Minnie.
Yep. And then
a pin for one of Duffy's new friends. I don't remember her name, but she was this adorable little pink fox. And so after the parks panel was done, we had to hike it to literally the opposite end of the expo center, which if you've been to the convention center, it is huge, huge, huge. So
which
it was quite the hike.
Brings up something we didn't talk about. All of the presentations that we were in all went long.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So a lot of things like the Legends went 40 minutes long. The parks presentation went about, what, 20, 30 minutes long?
Mm-hmm.
The Imagineering thing that we ended up going to
went long
as well. So be careful next time. I don't know if this will happen next time or not, but just something to be aware of in the future is if you have a panel that you have to get to really quickly after a previous panel, you might have to leave early.
It's very difficult. But on to the Imagineering panel. I had to giggle because when we walked into the 70 Years of Imagineering panel, we walked past Tony Baxter, who had the exact same goodie bag. So he had just attended the Parks panel, the same one we were with. And like everybody else, I just loved seeing him in this light because everyone that was at the Parks panel that did jump over to the Imagineering panel had the exact same thought because it was like 1 o'clock at this point. So if you were in the Parks panel all morning and then you jump into this other panel, you didn't have time to eat. So we were all very thankful for the pastry snack box. And so everyone's sitting there munching on their stuff. We saw people munching on their stuff as they were like hightailing it over to the panel. And here's Tony Baxter sitting there enjoying his little pastry goodie bag too. I thought that was just such a fun little like, they're just right. We, you know, you kind of forget. They're just like the rest of us. So I thought it was so fun that even he was on the same line of, we got to eat these munchy goodness. And they were delicious though. They were like the perfect size. It tied us over to lunch perfectly. But the Imagineering panel, we were so excited. Kevin Rafferty was there on the panel. Kim Irvine was there
on the
panel.
Teresa about died.
I did. I was like so excited. I didn't look ahead to see who was going to be on the Imagineering panel. I just figured it was going to be amazing and we needed
Bob
to be
Weiss
there.
Bob Weiss
was there. And then I do apologize. There was another younger woman that was there. She seemed like she had a really cool story. It looked to me like she had done a lot of work with Joe Rohde. She did stuff on Alani and she did stuff with the Tower of Terror switching over to Mission
Guardians,
Breakout.
Yep.
So it seemed like she had worked a lot with Joe Rohde. But very, very cool panel.
Yeah. Leslie Iwerks also moderated this one. So the only thing that was weird about this one was they had those folks that Teresa just mentioned because they were the creatives. And then they had the technical people that came out later. And we ended up having to leave because we had to get to another thing after that. So it was like back to back trying to get to stuff on Sunday. But it was really cool. They talked about a lot of really neat things. We didn't know this. We learned something new.
Yeah, we learned something new about Disneyland.
That Kim Irvine said about 40 Imagineers are their offices are on property at Disneyland, and their only focus is to focus on keeping Disneyland and doing Imagineering stuff for Disneyland.
She kept lovingly referring to this as the firstborn park, and so their whole, I thought that was so cool that there's a department devoted just to Disneyland, so that makes me happy because that means they're realizing that Disneyland is special and different and needs to be looked at from a different lens. So that was so, so cool. So Kim also was saying, which now I got to keep my eyes peeled, that she's frequently in the parks kind of trying to overhear and listen to what guests are saying as they experience different things. A story that she shared, which we thought was absolutely hilarious, was when they were redoing Sleeping Beauty's castle. She was nervous because, right, that's a big, big thing to take on. It's an iconic thing. And she's like, we're changing the color scheme. This is terrifying. This is either going to be great or people are going to hate it. So she had the idea that when the construction walls were up and around the castle to put some of the sketches and some of the color renderings that they had done up so people knew what was going
on. And history of the castle and stuff,
so people knew what was going on behind the wall. So she said the first morning that was up, she was kind of hanging out up there lingering because she wanted to see what people's reaction were to her kind of giving them a peek behind the curtain there.
She wanted to make sure that people knew. So the art that she hung up, they were just trying to get a color scheme. She said they do these schematics for people who are going to be doing the work. And so it didn't have the drawbridge. It didn't have the lights. It was just to the color.
Focusing on the castle because that's what they were doing. So she said the first woman that walked up and looked at it immediately said, see, look, they're taking out the drawbridge. We can't enter Fantasyland that way. And, of course, Kim panicked like, no, we're not taking out the drawbridge. So she apparently took that down, redid it. Put the drawbridge back in, put all the light posts in, basically put all the stuff that she didn't think people were going to notice that were not on the chopping block back in there, and then re-put the artwork up. We just thought that was so funny.
That was so funny and just amazing. And so one of the big points that all the Imagineers made during this presentation is they do it all for the guests. They do it all for us, especially the big super fans who are at the D23 Expo. And they listen to us. I know that sometimes, especially online, you can get in this weird echo chamber of people being negative or thinking that the people at Disney are not listening and they're trying to ruin the park and they're taking all this stuff from you. But they said that they really do listen and they do adjust things. Even Josh D'Amaro during the parks panel said the same thing. He said they don't always get it right, but they try and they go back and they redo things and they tweak things and they change things because they want it to be perfect for us, the fans. They want it to be great for the casual visitors, but also the super fans. And they know that they've got this great crown jewel in the firstborn park, as she said, you know, that it's very special and something great. So I'm really glad that they have that vision of that. And, you know, there, for us, like Teresa and I think we've known this on some level. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we forget it or think that they don't care or whatever. But really, we know that they care because this park has just gotten more and more beautiful and they've added more and more great little touches and they keep plusing things. So that was, so what did we do
so
after that?
So then after that, I was going to join one of our weekly tiers, Kate, for they had, what was it called? It was the Disneyland, Disney Parks Ambassadors Through the Decades. I wasn't quite sure what this panel was going to all entail, but it just intrigued me for some reason. So Kate and I met up and went to that. Tag went off and kind of just,
I could talk about what I did. Yeah.
But so for this panel, it was very cool. They had Julie Ream Casaletto was there. She, of course, was the first Disney ambassador, of course, for Disneyland. Connie Lane was also there. She was the second Disneyland ambassador. She was the ambassador in 66. And then also Debbie Dame Brown, who was the first Disney park ambassador for Walt Disney World when they opened. So those three were there, which that in and of itself was why I wanted to go to this panel. I didn't even care what they were going to talk about.
Right.
I just wanted to hear their stories because you had the only two Disney ambassadors that got to work with Walt sitting there, plus the first Disney World ambassador that was the first ambassador to open a park. So very iconic. So how this panel was presented was really interesting because they talked to each of them for, there was some significant purpose as to why specifically that person was there. So of course, Julie was there to talk about what it was like to be the first ambassador and, you know, kind of what her experience was, what her job was, her role was, all that sort of thing. Then they moved over to Connie. The reason Connie was there was, yes, she was the second, but the big momentous thing that happened while she was a Disney park ambassador, of course, the death of Walt Disney. And so kind of her perspective of what that was like in that time and what her experience was for that. Debbie was, of course, there to talk about her experience being the first Disney ambassador for Walt Disney World. And then we had a whole panel of other park ambassadors. We had the park ambassador that was there for Paris, the opening of Paris. We also had another Paris park ambassador that opened Alani. We had a park ambassador from Walt Disney World that was the ambassador during 9/11 and what that experience was like for him. And then the one that I thought that was so funny is because they went through the decades, so we went chronologically. So the final park ambassador, they kind of said, and you know, next up, and he's like, you can say it, I'm the COVID ambassador or something like that. And they're like, no, 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 no. We invited you here because you're the first, one of the first to have a 3-year term.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal because it started out as just one person, 1 year. Oh, then we had another Disneyland Paris ambassador that was there because he was the first, one of the first ambassadors to be a part of a team of ambassadors.
Sure.
Instead of it just being a single. So it was very interesting to hear what they did in their program at the time. And they kind of kept saying too that you get chosen to be a Disney park ambassador because you have to be the right person at the right time. And so, and how they were explaining their different roles and the different things they did, it made complete sense. But it was very, very cool, very educational. The final part of that was they gave this other Disney employee an award. She has a really interesting job. They called her the tree whisperer because her job is kind of go around with like horticulture and stuff, but she's very focused on all of the trees.
That's a very important job.
And it's something, again, like, it's fascinating. You can do anything for Disney parks. Like, never would I mean, clearly the trees are just as important as the buildings, as the attractions, as everything else, but I just appreciate them for the shade and their beauty, but I don't think about all the work that goes into maintaining and making sure that tree is safe. I mean, of course, we've talked at great length about the two trees that were in front of Pirates and how they had gotten sick and needed to come down and were replanted. Well, that's what this woman does. And something that she kind of got the ball rolling on and is now coming to parks is they are doing something more. They're giving these trees life after their park life. So when it comes time that a tree needs to come down due to sickness, old age, whatever reason that they need to to replant this tree. They used to just mulch it so that it was kind of circle of life, right? So the old tree could be nutrients and become soil for the new trees and vegetation around the parks. But they've now decided to kind of do something different, and they're giving all of us fans a chance to have a piece of these, this living history, I guess, of things in the park. So the first two trees that they're doing this with, of course, are the iconic trees that were in front of Pirates. I'm geeking out because they already told us they're giving us something away. I'm like, oh, are we going to get pieces of the Pirates trees? I was so excited. But everybody that was at that panel got a wood chip. And the cool thing, like a slice of a tree, a cookie, that's what it's called, a wood cookie, a slice of a tree. And they were all different. It wasn't all the same tree. So some people walked out with parts of trees that were from trees from Tom Sawyer's Island. I saw some people had ones that were from Toontown. The one that we were given was a tree that was from Autopia. And they...
It's like some type of sick trick.
I know. I was all excited about the Pirates trees, and I thought that's what we were coming home with. But yes, I ended up with an Autopia tree. But the tree cookies itself, they're very cool. I'm like so happy to have gotten this. It's probably my favorite giveaway from the entire weekend. They were like stamped. They have D23.
Branded,
that's it. They were branded with the D23 logo, but then they also have a short description of what the tree, like what type of tree it was, like the, you know, walnut, maple, whatever. But of course, these are all like super cool trees. And also where the tree was, where the tree had lived. So I have this really cool piece of Disneyland now that I was given from this panel. So I was over the moon about that.
Yeah, it's a really neat idea to do that instead of just turning to wood chips, and they're going to have these different things in different ways sold throughout the parks.
They didn't explain how, what they're doing exactly with these, so I don't know if it's going to simply be like what we receive, those kind of like wood cookies, or if they're going to give it to artisans that like turn them into
sculptures,
artworks
or something.
Yeah, so I'm very curious to see how this, you know, kind of the continuation and how this is going to come to life.
My day was a little more boring after that, so I went and rewalked the entire show floor to make sure I didn't miss anything or wanted to see anything last minute. I did stop at the booth, and we had done this on the other days too, and said hi to our friends Lynn and Ken at their booth.
Yes.
Of course, they host the Sweep Spot podcast, and they have their Cleaning the Kingdoms books 1 and 2. So I talked to them for a little bit, walked around, just kind of saw what was going on, just kind of enjoyed kind of being in the space. Also went to the D23 Expo store, which was also a Mickey's of Glendale like collaboration.
Yeah.
And I was a little disappointed because I really wanted some of this D23 stuff. Well, they had these virtual queues all weekend.
Oh, the Queen of Hearts.
You know, so they have these virtual queues for these stores all weekend, and I had not gotten into, because we were prioritizing the Marketplace and Mickey's of Glendale and not the D23 store, because we figured there'd be plenty of that stuff. So what ended up happening was I ended up going into there, and most of the merch for the weekend, it was Sunday, it was later in the day, was sold out. So unfortunately, I couldn't get a lot of the stuff that I was kind of hoping for. So tip for next time, please, please, if you want anything that's going to be limited for the expo, try to get it on day one or maybe day two, if you can, because by Sunday, of course, you don't want them to order a bunch of stuff that they're going to have to like discount or throw away or something like that. And then I waited. There was a great second floor patio I hung out on.
Jafar just walked past.
Second floor patio I hung out on and waited for Teresa and Kate to get out of the panel. Then after that, we went and walked around the show floor again for a little bit to make sure there wasn't anything Teresa needed to see and try to get into. Then we left. We went and
What was the like?
Oh,
the
yeah, you could tell that story.
Accidentally end the expo. So we're, like Tank said, just kind of making a loop, trying to make sure there wasn't anything that we missed or things that we wanted to do that we were trying to come back to that always had crazy lines to see if maybe by some Disney expo miracle there wouldn't be a crazy line. Well, guess what? Spoiler, there's crazy lines still. But they had a stage kind of in the far back part of the expo floor that they had all sorts of different fun things. There was some trivia thing going on when we walked past. And Nina West was hosting, and she said something about, oh, that's such a Donny Osmond thing to say or something. So I thought she was just saying that as like a phrase.
Yeah.
But then I like turned my head and looked. I'm like, oh, nope, she's talking to Donny Osmond. So, of course, I'm like, take, Donny Osmond's on this stage. And it was this like, they had a wheel that they spun, and it was like kind of a, let's get you on your toes.
It was like a celebrity trivia showdown thing or something.
Yeah, like, let's get you on your toes. We're just going to spin the wheel, and then whatever it lands on, that is the Disney song that you now get to sing for all of us kind of a thing. So they had already done Donny Osmond's random song, and then he just started in on I'll Make a Man Out of You. And so we saw a duet between Nina West and Donny Osmond about it, just singing back and forth to I'll Make a Man Out of You, which was just absolutely priceless. And I mean, we thought that was great until they announced who the next person was, which was none other than Jodie Benson, which is, of course, she's the voice of our favorite animated mermaid, the Little Mermaid Ariel. And
this was amazing.
This was so cool.
So they had this wheel, like Teresa said, and it was so funny because they spun it to land on Part of Your World. So she sung a little bit.
It was stuck between Part of Your World and something else.
Yeah.
And so they like bumped it so that it was Part of Your World.
She sung a little bit of that, which was obviously so amazing to see in person. She still sounds exactly the same. I don't know how 30 years later she can still sound the same. But then they spun it and they ended up moving it on to
Into the Unknown.
And Nina West and her song Into the Unknown. Now, it was kind of funny because it felt like such a human moment. Because if you've ever been put on the spot and had to sing something and you're trying to think, okay, how does this start?
Yeah, Jodie Benson's like, how does it start? And they're like going back
and they're working
like,
it out. And then they started singing it. And oh my God, it sounded amazing.
It was so good. Jodie Benson went for it. She started kind of in the middle where they, like, she did the chorus, which has the crazy high notes and all that stuff. And I was just like, oh, Jodie. And we're kind of like, everyone's feeling like, oh, Jodie, like, why did you start that? Like, this is the, like, toughest
she
notes to try
own.
And heat. And she nailed it. She absolutely nailed it. Well, it was so funny because when they got to the high one, she's like, all right, Nina, hold on. She, like, grabbed her and she kind of, like, crouched down and, like, did the, I mean, it was just beautiful. And so it was one of those, like, that's the thing that's so great about Expo in general is it's, yes, of course,
these moments.
Big panels and all the shopping experiences and things to do, but it's these random moments.
Yeah.
It's seeing Jodie Benson totally nail Into the Unknown. It's seeing Nina West and Donny Osmond dueling and like co-singing I'll Make a Man Out of You. It's seeing Tony Baxter being just a normal person enjoying all of the goodies at the panel that you just happen to be at the same one with. It's all of these cool things. It's walking through the Imagineering Pavilion and seeing Kevin Rafferty there, standing there for far too long, I will admit, in the hopes to like say hi and maybe get a quick picture, but seeing all of the Imagineers that had worked with him that were just so excited that he was there running over to say hi. And so we let them be, but we thought it was so cool that we got to see, got to see him that close. It's all of those moments. It's the things that you can't plan for. So my best advice, if you're thinking of ever going to a D23 Expo, is pick, Tag was just saying this, if panels are your thing and that's going to be your focus, awesome, but it's impossible. As much as we would like to do everything, it's impossible to do everything. But the thing to me that's so special about Expo is all of these random things, whether it's running into people you know, running into people like Josh Shimaro that are on the show floor, running into these experiences that you just kind of walked in and you see this amazing little mini concert with these iconic Disney voices. It's all of that, and so it's just so cool.
Yeah, like Teresa said, don't stress out.
You just never know what's around the corner.
Pick one thing a day. And like we've said, all of these things that we got really excited about were things we didn't even plan for. I didn't plan to go to that, the TV showcase or whatever
thing.
That was amazing. We didn't even know that Donny Osmond was going to... There's all these little things that pop up. And I know Teresa just said a lot of this stuff, but just like her, I'm also distracted. The Queen of Hearts is sitting here meeting with people and being amazing. But yeah, so don't stress yourself at the expo. You know, try to do the couple things. Pick one thing a day that you really have your heart set on, and then just enjoy yourself, because you know what, the biggest takeaway is you're not going to see everything. And I know some of you won't understand this, but just get it in your head, you're not going to see everything. There's too much at the expo,
and it's a really difficult thing to kind of wrap your head around, because we're used to busy, right? We're masters at the parks, we understand that, but this is like,
it's different.
I don't know, some crazy different level. So it's really hard to kind of get your brain around it until you're in it. And it's just overstimulating is the best word that I can use. Overstimulating, and it's Disney stuff.
Yeah.
So then it's like a million times more overstimulating, but amazing. You just never know.
So the other thing I want to say to wrap up here, so we finished that. Last night we got super lucky and able to get dining reservations at Hungry Bear for Fantasmic, because we realized after we were here, even though, you know, we do a Disney News podcast, you think we'd be good at this stuff, is that they're only doing the fireworks. They do the projections all week, but the fireworks only on the weekend. Same thing with Fantasmic. Mm-hmm. So last night, when we record this, we're recording this Monday afternoon, and it was the only time for us to see it. So we got the great seating for Fantasmic, which was wonderful. We saw the fireworks, which Teresa's going to laugh, because we literally stood right behind the Tim Tracker.
We stood next to Tim.
And watched the thing. So if you watch his video... of the holiday fireworks,
well,
and you hear somebody screaming.
I screamed about, but it probably
it was Teresa. You will recognize her voice if that part of his video makes it in.
It may have been Zero.
Yes, Zero was great. But yeah, and then we met up with some listeners, and we did Haunted Mansion Holiday, and we did Pirates, and then we looked at our watches, and we're like, oh, it's already past midnight.
Yeah, just a whirlwind of excitement and memories and amazing Disney everything. Wouldn't trade it. Is it a long weekend? Oh, yes, it's a very long weekend. And all we did, we just focused on Expo all 3 days, and we still were getting home late because of dining plans and meeting up with people and all sorts of fun and exciting things. But I wouldn't change it for the world. We're very excited to be experiencing Oogie Boogie Bash tomorrow night as we record this and sharing all of those fun memories
next
with
week.
You as well next week. Exactly. Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We hope that you enjoyed our coverage of the D23 Expo. We did some stories and photos and stuff like that on Instagram. I did try and save those on Instagram in our, like, there's a stories thing that you can replay those. So if you didn't catch those as they were there, you should be able to replay those to kind of catch up and see some of the fun and cool sights that we were able to see. So hopefully that was fun for those of you that weren't able to attend yourself. Thank you, everyone, again, for listening, for your support. Tag, what are we going to do?
I also want to say, because you thanked a lot of people, I want to say these type of trips, it's really important you guys realize that these type of trips are only possible because of you guys' support. And your support as patrons and weekly becoming
and
official
listening.
Weekly tiers and listening. So thank you so much. Literally, we have pinched ourselves so many times this weekend. And recently, even with just the interviews and stuff we've had, that we never thought we'd be talking to Imagineers or meeting such wonderful listeners. Mm-hmm. We meet you guys, and you guys teach us stuff. You tell us these wonderful things.
Yeah.
You're all wonderful people. So thank you so much. It means the world to us. Weekends like this really just drive that home. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so glad we do this for you guys. It's such a privilege to be able that you guys listen to us, then we're able to do this for you. But as Teresa teed me off for it, I totally went in the random direction. We're going to go and enjoy the parks.
Thank you, everyone.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.